When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What it is, you're all conspiring against me anyways.
No, Kevin wouldn't say a word. He's like,
hey, man, oh yeah, I took care of Kevin. His confidence I keep in a jar in my office.
He had it on mute. He wasn't going to comment on none of our shit. He's like, I'm not saying a word until I hear what it is.
Truth.
Yeah. Kevin, like I said, I own Kevin now. I got a little bottle with his mojo in my office. And I got 5 more bottles to fill, fellas. So who's going to be like?
Come on.
Oh, man. I don't even feel like doing an intro. We're here. If you don't know what it is by now, kiss our ass. If you're new, welcome. I'm still trying to get over the Mexico hangover.
What a trip.
Yeah.
You had the runs too?
I was just sick. I had the worst headache I've probably had in my entire life for like 4 days. I don't know if it was something in the ring was just weird. I don't know. I felt like I was breathing stuff in. And I know Scion had the same issue.
I got out of the hospital yesterday.
Very thick air.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I wrestled in the – I mean, you don't have to go very long. The guy I was working tried to take my leg out and broke his leg. So, Daga.
Wait, Daga broke his leg?
That was terrible, though. That poor guy.
He broke his leg.
No way.
That was actually – you know what? Kudos, though, what a match you guys had. There's nothing funny about that. It just sometimes it happens like that. It's horrible.
It happens on the easiest of stuff, though, guys.
Yeah, like, it literally was. My foot was on the rope. You know, it just hit me with a dragon corkscrew, and I had sold over to the rope, and my boot was on the rope, and he went up, you know, just to – I think he was going to drop a boot on it. You know, yeah, you jump up off the second and come down on it. Yeah. And his other leg, when he hit, slipped. And it was like a freak accident.
A little buckle in it.
So I'm rolling around.
I would love to see you guys in the ring again. Yeah. Like the two of you, I would love to see you guys go at it. Because you guys were having, I mean, that was hot. And then, unfortunately. Like
10,000 people going crazy. But and then I roll up and I see he's down. And I just go, well, that's what happens. And the referee asked him if he could continue. He said, yeah, and he just got hit with a big-ass elbow, and that was it.
Yeah.
But
I was standing next to Billy, and I go, oh, that doesn't look good. And Billy's like, what? And I was like, he's not moving properly. And sure enough, you dropped the old big hammer elbow, 1, 2, 3, and I go, oh, that's not good. I said, Billy's like, what happened? I'm like, Doggett's got to be hurt. Like, he just... That's not good at all.
No, he's a good kid though. The NWA would be
stuck with him.
Would be oh yeah, of course you always you know
you
that's
stuck with him until the end, until he got the wheelchair and they wheeled him out.
Yeah, you don't leave an opponent. You know, you can say whatever you want to say, and it is what it is when you're in that ring. But if a guy gets hurt,
sucks. I had some good matches with Dog. I'm gonna have to hit him up. Right?
Yeah,
I didn't know it.
You don't. You know. Doesn't matter who you think you are or whatever your status is in the wrestling world. When the two of you go out there and somebody gets hurt, it's a brotherhood and you don't leave your brother. So, you know, they were trying to tell me to escort me in the back and, you know, all this other stuff because I needed to get security to get me through the crowd and all that stuff. But I was like, nah, I'm not going anywhere until he goes. So, you know, and then Trevor, I think Junior stayed too, right? Yeah, it was a few of us that stayed with. We stayed with him until because we helped him get him off the gurney into a chair so at least he could sit up. And
then helped transfer him to the wheelchair.
Yeah, then we got him in the wheelchair. Well, you guys got him in the wheelchair because he was smoking a cigarette in the tent. I had to step out. I was like, God.
It showed some solid unity between AAA and NWA that, like you said, man, like no matter what.
When it comes down to it, man, it's a brotherhood. And it's something that is lost, I think, sometimes is that, especially when people think they're better than what they are, or that their status, they're a little bit higher on the card because a promoter thinks so, or a writer thinks so. But that has nothing to do with when you're out there with each other. You know what I'm saying? And you're simulated combat and a guy goes down. The last thing you want when you compete in this sport is a guy not to be able to continue to compete to feed his family. Yep. You know, ending a guy or, you know, a guy. And of course, and like I said, this it'd be different. Like if I gave him a power bomb and knocked him out or something, or I ran, you know, I was unsafe with him. It was generally a, just a freak accident that if he did that move 100 times, it wouldn't happen again.
Remember when Vader broke that dude's back power bombing him?
Yeah. Like that, something like that. Yeah. That's come on. You can.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. You know the difference between. And listen, I'm a naturally strong guy. I don't think as many people would argue that I'm freakishly strong in the ring, but I've never abused somebody physically. Well, one time.
Yeah.
Just that one time. But, you know, he.
Well, sometimes people got to learn.
He was misbehaving. He was misbehaving. So I was like, enough of this. We're going to end this. I was working some kid named Psycho who was on Superstars. And he was some Canadian guy, and he decided that he was going to – he didn't feel like getting beat up by the monster that day. And when it started to happen, I just remember going, bruh, you understand what's about to happen to you, right? He's like, oh, just I'm just going with it. Okay, cool. Well, as long as we're just both going with it, let's do this. So, you know, because even Scion had – he had a little – his match got a little physical. You know, it was – I mean – egos were high. AAA and NWA, egos were high. Guys were sizing guys up, and nobody was really pulling back. It was, you know, snug but safe. But there was a couple of times, I think Scion got kicked in the face, so then he punched a guy to let him know, like, hey, you don't kick me in the face. And
Mecca got hit in the head by with a kendo stick by Blue Demon Jr., which was a little bit foul.
Yeah, like it was guys were representing their brand at a high level, and those type of things are going to happen. It's just that what happened to me and Daga was had nothing to do with anything like that.
Accident, yeah.
You know, he just, you know, and I talked to him yesterday. I was just checking on him, and he said he's got a hairline fracture, and then he's going to be back and. All he wants is a rematch, and I was like,
"Some North American dancing in front of the people."
Yeah,
and so there you go.
Yeah, but he's a star, I think.
He's good. Yeah, he's a hell of a star.
Yeah, like he can go. Like I know he's out of Laredo, Texas, but if you're if you listen to this podcast and you're looking for guys to book when this guy gets better, man, I'm telling you, because he can do it all. Like, he wrestled, I hate when they call it American style, but, you know, he can do whatever you need to do.
And, well, he's a wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but really good dude. Really good dude.
He gets it for sure.
So I wanted to make sure I gave him a shout out, just because you hate to see that, you know, he's going to be on the shelf for a few weeks. And so that means he doesn't get to earn. So that, you know, that always sucks. And that's one of the scary things about this business is it can be over like that.
One injury.
You know, and your whole fortune, your whole destiny in wrestling can change with an injury. I remember Ken Anderson was going to be on it. He had Money in the Bank, and he was on his way to be champ. And then he tore his tricep.
Yep.
And then that was it. No more opportunity. He never got an opportunity at the championship again. So, I mean, injuries plague wrestling just as much as they plague the NFL, just as much as they plague the NBA and stuff. And you can have guys that are just super skilled but just can't stay injury-free. And it's the same kind of thing in wrestling. And I think – what's the longest you've been out just across the board?
Me, I think definitely a year. When I separated my shoulder and tore my ankle, I was wrestling Crash Holly on TNA back in the early 2000, maybe 2003. He had just got it was his first match back like on TNA. He just got released from WWE not too long before that, and I don't know what the move's called, where you pop you up in the middle ring and you take a face bump, you know, where he just pushes you in there and you take a face bump, like kind of like a, you know, whatever, you're gonna take RKO. But when I came down, he pulled me sideways a little bit, and instead of coming down flat, and just pulled me down shoulder first, completely blew my shoulder out, tore all my ligaments. My arm was hanging there, bro, for about 6 months. I didn't have health insurance, so I couldn't do nothing, you know. So my arm just dangled there.
I could chalk a few. I've had two ACLs, that total 6 months apiece.
two meniscuses. Let's add four, a dislocated patella tendon. Add another four, torn bicep. Add another four, really bad concussion. Throw 3 to 4 months on top of that. What else? Herniated disc in the back. That was about 2 months. But besides that, I'm in perfect physical health. The fact that I have freaking atrophy for no apparent reason, but I'm working through it and I'm still jacked. So just my best.
Well, I mean, that. I don't know if anyone can tops that. Aaron?
Nope.
Besides hurt feelings?
No, I'm the king of those, though.
Yeah, you have more emotional injuries and scars.
Well, that's what makes me such a brilliant performer.
That's one way to go with it.
Always a bright side.
What about you, Tyrus?
You know, when Luke started talking, I wanted to follow up with, will he actually ever admit you've been injured, would be the question, because Luke can always go.
I wish.
So I was in the ring with Sonny Siaki, and we were learning how to get clotheslined over the top rope. And it was a drill. I think it was like you duck a line. He ducks your line. He comes the ropes. You turn around. You come around. He low bridges you, and you eat shit. And then, or you hit the line, and the guy feeds up, and then you clothesline him over. It was like one of those drills. And I had asked I guess it was a stupid question, but I always asked. I said, "Do you hook with one arm or two?" And I was told two. I think it was being a smart ass. You just hook with one when you go over. Otherwise, you're gonna, especially if you're a big guy, you're gonna have too much momentum. So
that's a horrible idea.
Yeah. And so, and Sonny was, and anyone has ever seen Sonny Siaki at Total Impact Wrestling, I mean,
wrestled him there.
Yeah. He's next level. Like, the guy's innovator offense and money on the mic. I learned a lot with my time being in Urban Assault with Sonny Siaki and Eric Perez. But I was lucky as a green guy coming in to have two vets that took a liking to me right away. But, anyway, so when he hit me with I think he did like a chop or whatever, and I took myself over, I got so much momentum that my knees went into the side of the rail. And my left knee was dislocated. The patella was like on the wrong side of where it was supposed to be. And looking at that, I was like, holy shit. And all I could do was apologize. Coach DeMott, sorry, Coach, I screwed it up. And, I remember he popped me on the mouth like a love tap. I was like, "Hey, you didn't screw nothing up. You know, we're gonna go get you looked at." So, and the doc was like, "Oh man, we could probably do this and we have to do an X-ray. It's your patella, but can't really see a lot from an X-ray, so we have to do an MRI. So, you know, maybe you'll be out, you know, 6 to 8 weeks." And I remember sitting there thinking, like football, like, "Oh, if I'm out that long, someone's gonna take my spot." So I was like, can I just do rehab? I can't miss practice. And he was like, "I mean, I guess you can do whatever you want, but my advice would be stay off it for the next 3 weeks." So this is when a guy named Dan Roadheimer, the big deal.
Oh God!
I live on the third floor of the apartments, and he lives on the first floor. Well, I get dropped off. I can't get up the stairs. My knees are so bad. Because the other one wasn't dislocated, but it was swollen. So I was in a bad way trying to get up the stairs, and he stucks his head out of his apartment. He goes, "Hey, bro, just stay with me. You know, I'll get your stuff from upstairs. Just stay here on the couch until you feel better." And that was like 2 weeks where I was staying on his couch. And every day I'd be like, "Nah, I'm just trying to go up those stairs." But and then at practice and stuff, I was just watching. I never missed practice, but and I was rehabbing and probably needed to probably do some kind of corrective surgery. But I was so paranoid of missing time that, you know, I didn't want to do that. So I had to work through it. And then, of course, the downside is, of course, it healed. And now, for those of you who have worked with me, notice I have that permanent little bump, that little fused part where the bone was chipped, the way it healed. But I don't regret it. You know, because it got me where I am today. But I just remember being that mindset where I just didn't have time to be hurt. Like, I'm trying to learn this. I'm trying to get to where I need to go. I've risked everything I have, my bodyguard career, my marriage, my savings, everything I could possibly put on to throw on the crap table that is wrestling. And I wasn't going to let an injury stop me. But So that was probably, and then of course, just being the wear and tear of being hurt, you know, in the WWE, just, you just can't, you know, I know my, when Big Show hit me with the table in the small of my back, my sciatica was for a while, but you know, luckily I was at Hard Knock South with Rob, the Vulcan McIntyre, and he was able to find a way without surgery and stuff to fix everything. So I got lucky in those ways as far as injuries in wrestling. Not too many, but the ones I've had are like lingering to this day. We'll be back with much more after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever told a story about when you almost actually died? Like when you fell what would have appeared to be to your death?
Oh, with the spear.
Oh, yes. No.
That's hilarious.
No.
Yeah, please tell that story.
This is a case of someone who should have had an injury, but by the grace of God was saved.
God had nothing to do with it. The son of a set it up.
Oh, here comes the lightning. Wait a minute.
Yeah. So, and Luke, you'll appreciate this. So, I'm at Deep South, and Deep South has the label of just being a bunch of savages. Okay, we have no psychology, we have no house shows. I think McDonough booked one. We had one show, and the top rope broke, and Kofi Kingston's family was the only people in the audience. So that was it. That was our one show. And otherwise, we would train. And we had we'd train all day, take a break, and then train again. Like, that's all we did. And then we had to go work out. And we were subhuman at that point. So you get a call up to go to the pay-per-view in Atlanta. And I was on the list of guys who got to go to you get to go to Monday Night Raw and the pay-per-view. And so you're pretty excited, you know, because we're gonna go up, and the main event was Batista and Undertaker in an I Quit match, and here's the thing: there's always rumors, right? Everyone's always like, "Oh, hey, who do you think's gonna debut? Like, maybe they'll, you know, because when you're in developmental, you have all these dreams. You're just gonna get this magic phone call, you know, and like, hey, you're next, you know." So we get up there, and we're rolling around the ring, and I actually had a good day in the ring with Double A. Arn Anderson came down, and he always came down and sat in the chair, but he was working with me on some stuff on beating guys up in the corner and showing me some stuff he used to do and how he would – his thought process and, like, how he'd always be, like, analyzing. Even if they called something, he'd look at it and be like, you know what, I'm just going to cut the diff, and I'm just going to use the rope here or stick his arm through here, you know, and just give what he gives – like, take whatever he gives you. You know, while you're doing the heat, much smoother, much cleaner. You can't work like a big guy. You got to work like me. So so after feeling pretty good about that, we go to eating catering. And we're all in catering. And we're sitting there. And Michael Hayes kicks in the door. And he's looking around. And everyone stops. And he was like, and at the time I was G-Rilla. And he was like, G-Rilla. I was like, yes, sir. He's like, come with me. And my boys, TJ and them, were like, oh, man, you're going to debut at the pay-per-view? I was like, I don't know. I even gave him, like, the Michael Jordan, I don't know. You know, the big big smile on my face. And this might have been one of the things that made me a grizzled. I don't know. But so I come running out, and I mean, I ain't blinking. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yes, sir, what would you want? He's like, go down to the ring. So I go down to the ring, and it's Undertaker, Batista, and JBL sitting in the chairs, and there's not another soul out there. And I'm like, oh, I'm debuting in their match. Maybe I'm going to be Batista's heater or something, like, you know. They couldn't, or maybe they got an Undertaker costume for me. Who knows? You're like, what's going on? And or just maybe what, all these thoughts are going through my head. And I come down, and I'm humble, and I'm quiet, and I'm like, you guys wanted to see me? Yes, sir. And Taker goes, can you bump? I'm like, yes, sir. And Batista was like, can you take a back bump? And I was like, yeah, sure. and would you take one for us now? I'm like, yeah. So I slide in the ring and get ready to take a back bump for him, thinking that's it. You want a back bump? Okay. And Taker goes, no, not there, up there. And I turn and look, and I don't see an up there. I just see the giant Tron. And I'm like, up where? And he's like, on top of the Tron. Do you want me to bump on the top of the Tron? And he's like, no, bump off the Tron to the floor through that on that crash pad. I was like, just FYI, I don't like heights. So at all.
Nobody likes heights at that.
But I really don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't even like the top rope. And
why,
so
why do they need a huge guy to do this though? Couldn't it just been anybody?
Well, I mean, you know what? You know what? You know what, EC, you just don't get it, do you? Okay? What are you, Scott from Dr. Evil from Austin Powers? We just go in there and shoot him, Dad? No. You just don't get it, do you?
Like, so apparently not, Dad.
Yeah. So because I'm in the ring and it's Taker and it's Batista, and I'm still thinking maybe I'm going to debut tonight and maybe I'm taking a crazy bump for him. I was like, sure, man, whatever you want, boss. Yeah, I'll do it. And he's like, all right, go ahead, climb that ladder. So I go walking up there, and then JBL goes, I hope you die. And I just stop, and I can't stop myself from being myself. And I was like, well, I love you too, man. Appreciate you. You is what I said under my breath. And Taker was laughing because I think he saw me say. And Batista was like the one who was like, you know, in the bully movies, the one bully who's like not really wants to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because Dave was like, oh, man. Like, oh.
I mean, gotta.
Oh, God. You know, so I'm going up the thing and I'm looking all the way up and I'm like, motherfucker. So I'm climbing up the thing and it's up. It's up there. And it's a good, it's probably a good 30-foot drop. And I get up to the top. I look back and I go back bump off here to that crash pad. And here's the deal. Now, visually, there's the crash pad, and then the crash pad is surrounded by all these wood planks because eventually they're going to put a wood plank, like a table, over the crash pad so you don't see the crash pad. So whoever the poor bastard is going to fall through the table onto the crash pad.
Real fast, I feel like I remember this match, but I don't know if I remember that spot taking place in their match.
Oh.
So I'm curious to see where this goes. Go ahead.
So the thing is then on top of that, there's this tower. And what is supposed to happen is they're fighting. The tower falls. They fall. Batista spears him through off the top of that, and then the tower falls on top of them. So it's a complete thing, and it's a pay-per-view in Atlanta. And so I climb all the way up there. I don't want to do this, just for the record. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'll be able to survive heat with Taker, JBL, and Batista. But there's also no way in hell I'm taking this bump because I'm like, I can't see where I'm going. It'd be different if it was like a flip bump where I could actually see where I was going and then just kind of flip. And I'm like, oh, maybe. So my heart's racing and I'm like, oh, you're already up here. And I'm hyping myself up. Motherfucker, just do it. Just do it, dog. Just do it. If they die, it's on you. It's on them. You got it. You got it. Just do it. Just do it. I'm hyping myself up. Michael Hayes comes walking in. He's going to do it. And he's like, yeah, he's right there. And Hayes goes, wait, let me get Vince to see it. I'm like, mother. So I was hyped to go. I get stopped because he's going to go get Vince. And I'm like, Vince McMahon's going to come see this bump. Maybe I'm definitely. So there's still a hope that I'm going to debut. Like, the dream is still alive, even though I had no idea it was only my dream. And Vince comes in. Now, Vince is the parent. Mr. McMahon is the parent. I'm seeing the dynamic now. Taker and Batista and JBL have this new toy, which is me, that they want to push off the roof and see if it can fly or not. And he says to Taker and Batista, like, children, what are you trying to accomplish here? Why does he need to do this? And I was like, oh, thank God, Vince McMahon's here. He's going to save me. And and they said, and they polite as can be, well, boss, what we wanted to do was Batista is going to spear me off the top of this through the crash pad, and we're just testing the crash pad. So then, and this is when Vince goes from savior to the devil. He's like, well, shouldn't someone spear him then? And I went, no, dumbass. No, what are you doing? Like, this is not, you're my Jim Henson, and you're killing me right now. What are you doing? So Michael Hayes turns and looks, and he sees Gordy, who I love, Bam Bam's son.
Ray Gordy.
Ray Gordy. And Gordy's, he's already on TV. He's got the do-rag gimmick going. And he's like, hey, Ray. And he's like, no, not somebody who's on TV. And I was like, so then walking by is a guy that we all love to hate. His name was Keith Walker from Chicago. Stiffest son of a there was on the planet. Bright red. Pumped up beyond all imagination. And Hayes goes, you, come here. And he's like, yes, sir. And I'm like, oh, no, not him. Not him. And he's like, we need you to spear Rilla off the thing. Yes, sir. I'm like, mother. And he's climbing up with purpose. But I'm like, well, this dude, I've got, I'm a little higher on the food chain in Deep South. So I'm going to explain this guy how it goes. Like, hey, bruh. So he gets up there and he's like, whoa, it's a long way down. I'm like, yeah, no. I said, look, man, don't spear me. Like, go off to the side so you can take your bump and I can take mine. He wasn't hearing nothing I had to say because now he's thinking he's going to debut tonight. So
yeah, his shot.
Now he's got his shot. And if he's got to run through me to get it, then so be it. So he takes like 10 steps back. And I'm like, you only need to take 4, bro. He takes 10 steps back, fires up, yells at the top of his lungs. I'm like, why is this motherfucker yelling? And charges me to spear me. And when he hit me, I was like, you motherfucker. It just like echoed through the thing. And as we're going off the ledge, I am trying to push him off me. So I do not have this dude come down on me through this little crash pad. But in doing so, I successfully pushed him off me, but I also changed my course of direction. I miss the crash pad. I go through the table to the concrete. He hits the crash pad, and I'm just laying there. And I could just, all the air has gone out of my body. Because I went through the wood, it like broke the fall, so it wasn't as bad. But understand, 340 pounds dropping 30 feet ain't nothing nice gonna of the result of it. So he's laying on the pad, and he's kind of still like he's on my legs, and I like kind of kick him to get off me. And I'm laying there, and the dust from the wood clears, and I see Taker, Batista, Vince McMahon, and Michael Hayes like leaning over me. And I'm like, and they're like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm good, man. You guys need anything else? Glass of water, rack of land, anything while I'm up, anything? And Vince laughed. He says, no, you're good, man. You're good. You can. And Michael Hayes is like, oh, it's good shit, man. It's good shit. I'm like, yeah. I walk back. I'm still adrenaline and stuff, right? So nothing has hit me yet that I could possibly injured or anything. I walk back into catering where my friend's like, yo, so are you debuting tonight? No, not going to be debuting. And as I turn to sit down, the entire table said, oh, my God, Jesus. I was like, what? He's like, bruh, your back is just blood and full of splinters and it's like wood sticking out of your back. And I was like, oh, for real? And I was like, how bad is it? He's like, you look like a tree, bro. Like, there's just no way you're not going to be able to get all these splinters out and pieces of wood and stuff. And that's when the adrenaline started coming down and my back was on fire. Like, I was just burning on fire. And I'm sitting there and I had a shirt on. So it was even worse because the shirt with the blood sticking to the skin that's bleeding with all the pieces of wood stuck in me. And I'm sitting there, and TJ was like, what happened? And I told him what happened, and he was like, man, that's bullshit. And Harry Smith was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. And I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes Woman, the late, great Woman, Chris Benoit's wife, and she was like, oh, man. She's like, I saw that. And I was like, oh, yeah. She's like, no, it was that's like, you poor thing. And then she was like, look at your back. And then she went, and I swear to God, guys, it took 45 minutes maybe. She took every piece of wood and splinter out of my back. And Benoit came over to me. And again, this is before all the crazy shit happened. And he was like, that's how you do business, man. That's going to go a long way. It's going to go a long way. And I was like, oh, thanks, bro. Thanks. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. And I get all the stuff out of my back or whatever. And Walker is like, so you think we're going to debut tonight? And I was like, yeah, they just told me we're going to debut. Yeah. You're coming out in the main event. They're going to come get you. I didn't get it. You beat me out. He's like, oh man, nothing personal. Like, no, nothing at all. Nope, nope. It's all good. Peace. But, yeah, to this day, then when I watched the pay-per-view, I didn't, obviously, when that scene happened, I was like, huh, okay, that's it. All right. I thought it was, in my delusion, while they were looking over at me, the giant piece then fell. But that part fell on top of the, it like stops, I like have a cable to catch it. So I was just waiting for it to hit me and end me because I wasn't moving. I had nothing left. But to this day, I don't think that's something you need to rehearse.
No.
But
without a doubt, no.
And then
we all have been in those spots where, like,
after the last piece of wood was taken out, bitter Brodus Clay was born. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
BBC.
I was you couldn't tell me nothing. Every time they'd call me like, hey, we gotta bring you on the road. Yeah, whatever, man. I hope you die. It's like, thanks. Me too. But so that was and Michael Hayes was like, and Michael Hayes didn't know. Michael Hayes just, what it was is I was one of Michael Hayes' favorites, and he liked me a lot, and he said he used to tell me I reminded him of Bam Bam a lot. So he was like, he heard they needed somebody, and he just ran and got me, thinking that he was putting me in a position to where maybe I would get to debut or whatever. So that's where that came from. Nobody knew what the spot was. Maybe next time in the future, ask. But I don't think anyone, though, getting speared by Keith Walker, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And he's a salt of the earth. He's a great guy. But I think he's in law enforcement. Yeah, he's in law enforcement now. Yeah, yeah. Threw a hell of a spear, though. I got to give him that.
At least you survived, though.
Part of me did. The joyous, happy guy died on impact.
Yeah. And it's very similar to the Vic Grimes fall. Remember that? Did you see that one when Vic Grimes did the scaffold fall with New Jack?
Oh, no, that was – yeah, that, no, that guy died. Like, he legitimately got
– homicide.
Yeah, no, that was awful. Everything was – like I said, if I wouldn't have pushed Keith off, I would have landed on the crash pad.
Yeah, but, yeah.
That was
like, it's still dangerous, dog. Even if you hit the tables, like, thankfully you hit the tables, because, you know, if you wouldn't hit the tables.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I got hurt worse doing stunt work when they shot me over the crash pad, landed on the concrete. So yeah, no. But New Jack, those guys were doing that, and yeah, that was way worse. I wouldn't even. Yeah, not even just that, but ECW in general, they just beat the out of each other. This was still, like, I think it's different when you're out there because the intensity and it's maybe even a little safer too, because you're just loose in the adrenaline, you know, and you'll do things you normally wouldn't do just when it's cold and no one's cheering and stuff. The other side of it is, though, then you have the New Jack side of it where it looks like maybe you push the guy too hard, but. Yeah, I don't. ECW was
Hell, it's documented. New Jack said, "I tried to throw that motherfucker off. I tried to throw him off that scaffold to kill him."
Yeah, that's not what you go for. Preferably going back to working Daga, you want to be able to work him again, or at the very least, he'll be able to go work someone else the following weekend. That's the whole point of wrestling, is to be able to get through a very physical fight and then be able to continue on. So you're never winning if you're taking a guy. If I have a list like, oh, I've taken 12 guys out of my career, that means I was a horrible wrestler.
Horrible.
Yeah. So you're saying New Jack wasn't a good wrestler, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'll tell him to his face. Yeah. It's like, yeah,
he's a good wrestler. He's a crazy fighter.
He's crazy. Yeah, he's crazy. Yeah. I don't think he's going to. Well, once you go out in the ring and once you start stacking tables, I believe the word wrestling is no longer there. It is now a street fight.
Going to hit a scalpel, like a 17-year-old kid in the head with a scalpel. I mean, a scalpel, not a scaffold, a scalpel.
Yeah, like I said, that's crazy. Like, but that was EC. That was ECW. I mean, I remember Tommy Dreamer getting cheese graters on his head, and like, it just. Was just a crazy error that can't be duplicated.
Which, it's funny because that's what everyone seems to think, like, not obviously in the in-ring style, but as far as where we fit in terms of the culture of pro wrestling right now as a company, what NWA is, because we are the alternative, really, to what's out there. And I think that's kind of cool.
And they try. I mean, they try. I think what the champ at AEW, he tries to cuss everybody out. Like, that's his thing. you know, he's just angry and screaming all the time. And
yeah, but I mean, and it works, and he works it. And like, here's my thing. I don't have a problem with that, but, and I've said this before, with people like that, I mean, it's great to have lightning in a bottle, but can you harness it?
Yeah.
I'm going to bet and say this kid does, and he will continue to evolve. I've never met him, but there's other people in that company who haven't. And I just think, like, with NWA and what we're doing with our style, it was actually, and to tie it into another point, the reaction you got in Mexico, which actually shocked a lot of NWA officials. Not Billy Corgan, by the way. Billy, I think, knew this was going to happen all along, but some other people. And it's insane in terms of what, like, again, an American, you know, you are on Fox News, and just internationally, how you were viewed in the NWA.
No, it was Kyle. Kyle's a little hater. So Kyle said to me, first of all, I was wrestling Dago, who is I called him Mexico's favorite son. And so you would expect a AAA crowd to be pretty pro hometown guys. And even though Dag is a heel, sometimes you just being from America, you're going to be a bigger heel, because I can tell you when me and EC3 were there a few years ago with Impact, we got booed out of the stadium. Like, they hated us. Like, there was nothing we could do. But we weren't trying to do anything either.
It's the equivalent of taking that spot in wrestling. You're taking that spot in the States, dog.
Yep.
So they're mad at you.
So when I walked out and the place erupted, Daga had a big smile on his face, because he was like, we got him. Like, this is crazy. He's like, I didn't expect this, bro. I said, don't worry about it, man. It's all good. I got you. But so everything we did, there was a reaction. And I just remember I came back through, and I was more worried about Daga than anything else. Like, and Kyle's like, I don't believe it. That reaction, I don't believe it. And I said, of course not. You're a hater. Can't help it. It's just who you are, you and the 1,100 people on the internet. Like, I said, it's all good, bro, but just so you know, I'm a star. So, not bragging.
I was surprised on how well, though, that the AW or AAA crowd knew all the NWA guys.
Yeah. They're wrestling. Don't get it twisted. They're wrestling. They watch wrestling probably more than the average fan. I would argue maybe the Japanese fan is maybe the most knowledgeable.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, Max, they own it's a religious. It's religious.
Yeah, it's a different. It's an art form there. It's like, I compare it to Japan.
They respect it. They're, you know what I mean? That's the best thing about going down there, is just the amount of respect they have for wrestling.
Right. Because those guys don't take those masks off. And you go, here's the deal. You're in the airport in Mexico. What do you see? Lucha masks. You see sombreros, yeah. Lucha masks, ponchos. Like, it is not a second hand, like, you're not going to see Mexican soccer jerseys there, and they have a tremendous professional soccer league, but you're not seeing those things hung up. It's lucha. I think I counted Blue Demon masks in every airport. Man.
Yeah, everywhere.
You know, and I'm not sure if they get a piece of that or not, because I know Mexico's also.
Which you bet they do.
Well, because everything's imitated in Mexico.
Yeah, they definitely not getting a piece of that, bro. They all over. You see them on every corner. There's no way. But you know what's cool? That, like, Blue Demon has a store in Mexico City.
Yeah, he does.
So, like,
hadn't
a whole...
Had, like, a tequila, and hadn't he been on some, like, soap operas?
Oh,
like,
he's a star. Over. He's a star.
Yeah, he's over. I did my first movie in Mexico City with Vampiro in Guadalajara in 2006. That was my first film. That's how
speaking of another guy over there, like, yeah. When he walked out, that place went nuts, man. Like, they were excited to see him walk down that aisle.
Well, he was massive. I mean, he still is massive there, but, like, those guys back in the day, Vampiro was a massive star in Mexico. And it was crazy. When you go anywhere, I remember the first time I was there with him, like, just walking the streets, he couldn't go anywhere because they were coming out, like that. In packs. I'm serious. They were running out the houses in stores and everything in packs once they seen he was walking in the street, and they just flooded him. It was crazy.
Well, he brought the power of the people to that show.
Yeah, I remember he was pretty popular at WCW, too. I think I don't think that was the plan either.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't as popular backstage, but he was
but in front of the crowd. Yeah, at that point in my life as a young fan watching, he was, you know, he was I don't, like I said, I don't know if the office had planned on him being so damn popular,
But everything he did, they reacted to it. I think it was because he was bigger than a luchador, you know, because he was about Sting size. But he was doing all kinds of stuff that
he was feuding with Sting there. They started feuding.
Yeah, he started running with Sting. And I think it was like they had the Raven and the Flock, and then Vampiro kind of – I think they were kind of similar was what the placing was, but he was very different. And again, Raven was – that was the best version of Raven, you know, the when he was in the Flock and all the Raven – quote the Raven.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. But
without a doubt. Yeah, I actually I prefer that, believe it or not, his ECW stuff. And you can say like his ECW stuff was edgier. But there was just something that was far more translatable about Flock Raven that made it cooler. And, like, the characters he had in it, you know, like with Saturn and what's his name? Reese, those guys, like the kind of oddities.
Yeah. Saturn was – even though I don't think Saturn ever needed a gimmick. He was so technically sound. But, yeah, you had Saturn and the Mop. What was it, Moppy?
He ruined my junior prom, by the way.
What?
How did he do that?
At Kowalski's, when I was there on a Sunday, he was like, oh, you're 16, huh? You know, you had to be 18 when I started and this and that. And, like, he wasn't super rough, but he, like, you know, he put it on me a little bit and, like, he did the thing where the blood vessels, like, the behind your eyes when they pop. So instead of white, you have red on your eyes. And my junior prom was that upcoming Friday. So I had to wear sunglasses for my junior prom picture because Perry did that. But in the long run, he was okay. And when I saw him at FCW, I told him that story. We laughed about it.
He was always a nice guy, I thought.
Yeah.
Solid. But I wouldn't want – he'd punish guys in the ring, though. He would stretch you.
I had it out with him. I got the better of him in Pittsburgh for the ECW reunion show. So. He kept popping me. I told him, I said, you hit me again, motherfucker, I'm going to kill you. And he hit me. I spin kick and laid that motherfucker clean out. And then we got it back. He said, I'm sorry. I just get lost out there. Sometimes I don't know what's going on. I said, yeah, motherfucker, you know now, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what you got to do, though, sometimes. When someone's taking advantage of you like that, you got to let them know, like, hey, it can go two ways.
It's called a receipt for a reason.
Hey, my favorite Saturn story, though, is, like, when, like, GoFundMe, like, first, like, started getting popular, he was on Twitter, you know, because he's having his, he lost his home to drugs and all that. And then, like, so, like, out of the blue, like, he asked for, like, $1,000 or something. I think he was getting evicted or some shit. I don't remember what it was, but he needed a small amount. And he got, like, a large chunk of money, like, 10, 15, 20 grand, something like that, overnight. And he's like, oh, my God, this is great. Thanks for everyone who bailed me out. And then the next day he asked again. He goes, we also need a washer and a dryer and a bowl.
Oh, my God.
Always working. Speaking of which, does the Jack Shack have a washer and dryer?
I believe we lost EC3.
Yeah.
Last we heard, he was tanning naked.
He succumbed to his injuries. Yeah. Hell of a list, though, isn't it?
I thought that was Kevin who said he was tan and naked.
No, Kevin can't do it. Nope. He can't tan.
No, I'm not tan and naked. Nope.
No. How do you tan?
Wait a minute. You don't?
I mean, I usually have underwear on. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, you know what? Fine. We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there.
You're there now. What's the last 4 minutes on? Tanning. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a new feature of the podcast. Tanning tips with Aaron, where Aaron will go through and ask our podcast, regulars, therapy sessions. So Aaron, please, without further ado, we'll work on music. Aaron, training and tanning tips with Aaron. Today, Aaron discusses the importance of how you tan. Aaron, you have the floor.
First of all, I'm going to defer everything I say and check with Tim Storm or Tom Latimer first, but being the voice of reason on here, when you go tanning, why would you cover anything up when you are, like, you're not getting your money's worth? If you pay $20 for a tan and you're only tanning 80% of your body, then, I mean, that just doesn't measure up. If you're paying,
I'm just saying, I don't want to burn my man everything. I don't want
to
burn
No, no, no. It bronzes like the rest of you. It bronzes like the rest of you, and always add about 2 minutes where you lift your hands up so you don't get the white spots under your arms. The session is closed for this week. Thank you, Terry.
I don't know what to say.
He schooled you. I guess so, yeah.
I guess, yeah. All right, on to the next important subject.
I've never tried to use the tanning lotion, and put it somewhere down there. I don't know if it works.
Well, you can't do that because then if you do that, it gets tanner than the rest of you. So don't, you know.
Iris, how much do you tan there, big dog?
I'm black. I don't have to. I just have to go step in the sun if I want to get darker.
I just want to go with you to a tanning bed. Hey, yo.
No. You know what? in the WWE, that was a lot of the guys that I traveled with. Like, tanning was a big deal because they had to find – usually we had to find a Subway because they made the egg whites and the spinach and a gym that was next to a tanning salon because they had to get their tan in. And
especially when they went to 4K. Like, that was a big deal. The spray tan didn't work anymore. You had to be tan.
Oh, yeah, because I remember – who was it? Oh, do you guys remember when Taker caught on fire?
Yeah.
Okay, so he had his hair dye was running, and he was like orange and stuff from the flame. And I just remember going, "Nice hair dye, millionaire." but he always with me, so about my hair, so I don't feel bad. But the colors, like it, when guys tanned wrong or whatever, you could see every different color or whatever. It was like crazy. Like a guy be like eight different
orange,
shades.
Light brown.
Yeah. You know, the only guy I know that didn't tan besides me was Sheamus. I think it's safe to say that if you put Sheamus in a tanning salon, you'd probably kill him.
Sheamus wouldn't even go to the beach in Tampa. He was that committed. I mean, he wouldn't even leave the house during the summer.
He was the only guy I know who could wrestle in white body armor and no one would know the difference.
Yeah.
We wrestled in Mexico.
Headache that saves him, bro, because it's a pain to tan and stay on top of him. Bro. I got to do it. I have to. And it's frustrating. And it takes so much damn time several times a week. You got to go watch your weight, go find a tanning booth somewhere.
Now, let me know, with everything, with the changing technology and stuff, is it still the, like, lay-in beds and standing beds, or has it changed? Is it faster, more efficient now?
I mean, they got everything. They got lotions. They got the rub on stuff. I think a natural tan is way better than the fake tans. And I think it looks better. And I always feel like for me, I get a better result from a suntan than I do a bed. You know, I like the beds too, but I hold it better if I get some sun.
Yeah, sun's always better, I think.
Yeah,
Aaron, do you conclude or are we wrong?
No, I actually, and I'm going to be honest with you. I either do the Neutrogena spray or the L'Oreal spray. I have not been in a tanning booth for probably, pre-COVID, to be honest with you. Like, I can't tell you the last time I tanned. I do a spray. I just apply it even, and that's it. Like, I'm at a point where I don't want to try to, like, I want to limit exposure to the sun because I'm going to preserve my skin. But that's where I'm at. But I still spray 100% of my body.
I go to a place before every show that's got a machine. I pay some lady a bunch of money. I stand in a machine, hit a button, put my arms a certain way, put my legs a certain way. It does the spray thing. I'm done.
All right, fellas. For more podcasts like this, just like this, we'll have the artwork done for Tanning Tips with Aaron. It's going to be a new hot segment. Get him a Fox Nation special. Where he tours tanning salons all over the country and explains how everyone to do it. Yeah.
Nope. With a Russian chick. He needs a Russian partner.
Hashtag enough said.
Hey, it's good to hear your guys' voices, bro. Y'all made my day. Thank you.
All right, man. This therapy session was sponsored by we don't have any sponsors. This is bullshit. All right. We're going to have to get a sponsor. All right, fellas. Where can everybody find you?
At the Real Team Murdoch, Instagram. I got a blue check mark on Facebook. Of course, the NWA.
At Luke Hawks 504 on all social media. But I'm taking a social media break, so.
Smart. Aaron, besides the local tanning salon, where can everybody find you?
On Instagram at The Aaron Files, but that's 1A.
At Kylie Jr. WWE, and it's still in there, and I'm trying to change it every day.
Don't try, Instagram. Do.
Yeah, I am trying every day. Get back at me, Instagram. I'm not in the WWE anymore. I keep trying to change it, but right now it's at Kylie Jr. WWE.
All right, fellas, and I be where I be, and I'm at where I'm at. Enough said. Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.